Hi, it's December 22nd. I'm your host, Doc J, and you guys are listening to Ball for the Filthy Casual, your all-NBA inclusive podcast to help you get your NBA facts straight, or if you're just trying to get a little bit of skin in the game. All right, so in today's episode, we're going to talk about my playoff picks for the Eastern Conference, as well as MVP, DPOY, Rookie of the Year, and other awards that are given at the end of the season. Now, before we start, I just got my email up, so feel free to email me all your questions, concerns, lineups, predictions at ballforthefilthycasual@gmail.com. I will address them at the beginning of the next show, so feel free to go ahead and use that email. I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear you guys' input, especially because right now this is just me talking for 30 minutes, and I'm sure listening to my voice probably gets old after a while, right? I should probably get a co-host or something. All right, so preseason is officially over, and the NBA's 2021 season is going to be starting tonight. And our preview for those games are going to be the Golden State Warriors versus the Brooklyn Nets, and the LA Clippers taking on the reigning champions, the LA Lakers. This is a great start to the NBA season, especially if you're a basketball fan. If you just love watching basketball overall, I mean, there's no way you want to miss these two games. This is going to be a total burn, like barn burner. This is going to be a really fun night. I'm excited to see these teams come and throw down tonight. So I have the Nets over the Warriors, 114-98. The reason being, I think Draymond Green is sitting out with injury, is going to be very impactful on how Kevin Durant is able to kind of let his mid-range go. I think Steph Curry is still going to be Steph Curry. However, I think they have a lot of pieces that they added. And it's going to take the Warriors a little bit to kind of find that niche and kind of get the ball flowing and kind of generate the offense that they're used to generating. Whereas the Nets really aren't bringing anyone new back besides Kevin Durant. And so they're kind of running their same roster back from before. And they were already a fantastic team. So I'm very excited to see what happens there. Like I said, I got the Nets over Golden State tonight. This might be a shocker for you guys. So I am actually picking the Clippers to dethrone the Lakers tonight, 108-104. Even without Marcus Morris Sr., who is sitting out due to injury, I think that the Clippers have the better regular season team. I think they're far superior, and I think that the acquisition of Serge Ibaka was huge for them. Serge has played with Kawhi Leonard before. They won a ring together in Toronto. And Ibaka is a very underrated center for what he's able to bring to the table. He was another guy who was on my short list for Jazz acquisitions. If I was front office, I would have thrown money at that guy. But it is what it is. Now he plays for the Clippers. So as I've stated before, a lot of people, a lot of analysts are saying that the Clippers are just a total bust. And, you know, I got to be honest, I don't really believe that at all. I think that they had some issues in their locker room. I know that the bubble was not really where they wanted to be. It showed in their style of play. But to believe that the Clippers are like a lottery team or are just going to get bulldozed, I think is not the case whatsoever. So I think that Coach Lou is going to be able to hold his players accountable, and he's going to get them to play basketball, and that's really what matters. So I'm going to pick the Clippers over the Lakers tonight, but we will see. We will see, ladies and gents. All right, let's talk about the East. So the East is normally a very top-heavy division where you have kind of the same teams making it every year, and then you have your lottery teams, which don't make the playoffs, just kind of always down there at the bottom. But this year, there's kind of a little bit of a shakeup, and I'm really excited to talk about that. Number one, I have the Brooklyn Nets. So look, they're running back virtually the same roster. They have Kyrie Irving, Jared Allen. They have Spencer Dinwiddie. Joe Harris is a knockdown shooter. DeAndre Jordan is another great center. Caris LeVert. And now they're adding Kevin Durant to that equation. And for me, that is a championship caliber team. I don't think that Irving will play the full 72 games in the condensed season. Honestly, I don't think he really needs to because he has Kevin Durant now. I think that even with those two maybe having some load management, if that's in the cards for them, they're going to come out and clinch the number one spot without a lot of resistance. Number two, I have the Bucks. So, as Milwaukee fans know and most NBA fans know, Giannis just was locked down for the next 5 years for $228 million. He got the max contract extension, which he totally deserves. One of the very few players in the NBA that actually deserves that money. And then with the addition of Jrue Holiday, who is a very elite defensive point guard, he's just going to add to both sides of the floor for the Bucks. This isn't just going to be important for the regular season. This is very important for their playoff hopes. So, you know, I really liked who they had before. Eric Bledsoe is he's a, you know, the term used is, oh man, he's a dog defender. And he is, you know, he's a gritty guy. He's like a Pat Bev. He's going to get in your face and make things difficult for you while you move down the court. The difference between Bledsoe and Holiday, though, is night and day. Holiday is a much better defender, and he's a much more efficient scorer as well. Plus, his ball handling, I think, is superior on all levels. So, I thought that was a great pickup. I fully expect the Bucks to win the big one here in the next 5 years with Giannis at some point. They're coming in on my rankings at number two. Number three, we have the Boston Celtics. Now, like I said before, the East is always really top-heavy. And Boston, you know, consistently has always been able to make the playoffs. You know, and when you have young players like Jason Tatum, who last year made an incredible leap in production, leading this team of small ball shooters, it's very easy to see them competing for an Eastern Conference Championship. Sorry about that, guys. Number four, I have the Miami Heat. Look, I love the Heat. I gotta be honest about that. I love everything about their culture. I love the location. I love the way they take care of their players. I love their militarized style of training and the values that they instill in their players. And I love that that's the home of one of my favorite guys to watch, Jimmy Buckets, or as you guys know him, Jimmy Butler. So Jimmy played for the Philadelphia 76ers, and I believe 2 years ago, and it was just a total mistake, in my opinion, to just let him walk. Jimmy Butler is the kind of leader that you want in the locker room. He inspires your young players to play better. He helps the team. He's not just an ISO kind of player. He's there for the franchise. So with that said, a lot of people are kind of sleeping on the Heat, thinking that, oh, the bubble was a dud. You know, they made the finals because of circumstances, this and that. And, you know, some of that might be true. But at the end of the day, Jimmy Butler still got that team to the finals, and they performed relatively well. And I fully expect them to continue to be in playoff conversations for a while. At number five, I have Philadelphia. So, despite being a constant train wreck with trusting the process, Philadelphia has always been able to consistently make the playoffs. I think with having a coach of Doc Rivers' caliber, who's really going to right that ship for them. I'm not a coach. Let me just say that. I don't coach basketball. You know, I play for fun. And you guys are listening to my podcast, which, you know, is just us talking about ball for fun as well. Not too serious here. But Coach Rivers is one of those coaches that is going to be able to bridge the gap of communication between the players. And I think that's especially important for a leaderless Philadelphia who seems to go back and forth between Simmons and Embiid and can't really choose who's going to be leading this team. I think Doc is going to establish who the leader is, and I really think that that team's going to fall in line. They could be a very different team this year under Doc Rivers, and that's what I expect them to be. I hope they are for that franchise's sake. At number six, all my Atlanta fans, put your hands in the air because your Hawks are going to the playoffs for the first time since 2017. Look, when you have a free agency of that magnitude, I think it's very, if you're another team or you're another fan, you have to take notice of what the Hawks did. They have a starting lineup of Trae Young, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, and Clint Capella. Clint Capella is a very underrated center if we're going to, you know, split some hairs here. The guy averaged 13 and 13 last year per ESPN and NBA. Those are only a few numbers away from Rudy Gobert numbers. So very underrated center. You know, Bogdan Bogdanovic was a bench player for the Kings who was able to generate some real good offense and some good looks for the rest of his team. They're moving him, excuse me, into the starting lineup with Trae Young. And this was the problem with the Hawks. The Hawks had a bunch of subpar shooters outside of John Collins and Trae Young. Trae Young had to, you know, he was getting tired, ball handling all the time, having to play some hero ball. And now that's no longer the case. And when you even look at the bench pieces, they have Rajon Rondo and Danilo Gallinari. It's really hard for me to not see this team breaking into the playoffs finally. I just don't believe that there's any way they don't. I'm excited to watch the Hawks this year, especially because I'm moving my chips in the middle of the table for them. I like them a lot, so good luck to you guys. At number 7, we have the Raptors. So the Raptors have continued to show that they are still an elite team. They did last year in the bubble. They didn't make it as far as they'd like to, but hey, they put on a ridiculous war with Boston, which was very exciting to watch. They won the championship 2 years ago with the help of Kawhi Leonard. Losing Serge Ibaka is somewhat painful, but I don't think that losing him is going to knock them out of the playoff race. I mean, they still have Van Fleet, they got Kyle Lowry, and they have Pascal Siakam, who is a very versatile power forward and a legitimate all-star. Those are three potential all-stars you have on your team. So I think that the Raptors, even though the East is becoming kind of more and more top-heavy, they're still going to find a way to make the playoffs, and they're still going to do their thing. Last but not least, I have the Washington Wizards. Hey, if you're a Washington fan, you should be really happy about having Russell Westbrook on your team. Look, the guy plays hard every night. Some people may not like him as a person. That's absolutely fine. But no one can say that he doesn't play hard and give 110% every time he goes out there. And personally, I think that Westbrook and Beal are a match made in heaven. You have a point guard who loves to pass, and you have a shooting guard who loves to score, loves to put it in the bucket. And those two, I think, are going to be a very dangerous tandem for the rest of the Eastern Conference. And then you have players like Davis Bertans, who I believe is the NBA future of catch and shoot. Proven rookies like Roy Hachimura, Thomas Bryant. There should be no reason why this team is not able to make the playoffs this year. All right, so those are my seedings. Let's move on down and start talking about awards. Okay, so for MVP, I haven't looked lately at what some of the national analysts are saying, but my pick just overall is going to be Luka Doncic. I believe that he has to be heavily favored just because of the leap in production and playing capability he made from his first year to his second year, where he was basically averaging a triple-double. We haven't seen a player do that since Russell Westbrook, and he's very special, very young, high ball IQ. That guy is just going to be a killer on the court. He's going to do it again this year. I fully expect him to pick up MVP. My runner-up for that is going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Giannis was able to be MVP and DPOY last year. Still received a lot of criticism because of his team's inability to advance in the playoffs, but you cannot take away the accolades of individual players. So Giannis will be my runner-up. I think he's going to have an incredible year this year, especially because he's very motivated getting his new contract. So defensive player of the year. Another player who got paid very well and compensated for his production, and my winner of this award is going to be none other than the Stifle Tower himself, Rudy Gobert. So before I go into this, I want to say that there's something very special about overseas players that come here and play in the NBA. You have guys like Dirk Nowitzki, Giannis, Rudy Gobert, who have a sense of almost unyielding loyalty to the teams that gave them the opportunity to provide for their families and play basketball, which is their passion. And I love it when I see these teams or these players from overseas that are extremely talented double down on the teams that gave them that opportunity, the teams that believed in them. It's very different from the American culture where, you know, if you don't want to be there, you can ask for a trade and move. You don't really see that from Eastern players very often. And I think it's just the difference in loyalty they have. And it's also the cultural difference. Not that there's anything wrong with American players. I love America. This is my country. I'm just saying there's definitely a difference when it comes to the loyalty factor with overseas players. So I think that since Rudy received his contract of 5 years for $202 million, which is the largest center contract in the NBA, I'll say that again, the largest center contract in the NBA in NBA history, Rudy is going to come out. He's going to show the Jazz that they did not waste their money. And look, I'm a Jazz fan, first and foremost, and I'm very excited. I was worried about the potential of maybe losing Rudy Gobert because I believe that the Jazz have a title window where they can actually compete for the championship from this starting year up to 2026. So to be able to lock down those pieces and keep the continuity going was imperative. All right, my next award is going to be Rookie of the Year. So this year's Rookie of the Year is going to have to come through the ashes on a lot of, a lot of issues that they've had to face. So there was no summer league. They haven't really had a good summer camp with those teams. All the rookies, it's going to be very sink or swim for them. And really, it's going to be just how well their game adapts now to the NBA. And out of all the rookies, I believe the one that has the most capability and the highest ceiling is LaMelo Ball. So LaMelo is a very aggressive scorer, unlike his brother Lonzo or LiAngelo. And he's an elite passer. He showed some flares of real brilliance during the preseason games. So I think he's a clear-cut runner, and he's just going to be my pick. I think that he wins pretty much no problem. I'd be surprised if anyone else won that award. My runner-up, though, for Rookie of the Year is going to be James Wiseman due to the same fact. I think James Wiseman's game right now translates to the NBA very well, and I think he's going to receive the minutes from Golden State to really show that. So there you go. Those are my picks. Now let's talk about six-man. Once again, might be a little jaded. You have to understand, I am a Jazz fan, but my sixth man of the year this year is going to be none other than Jordan Clarkson, with runner-up being Danilo Gallinari. What's exciting about the sixth man award is I really believe that this is going to be a battle of just going back and forth. You're going to have a lot of people separated on who's going to win this, because I think Danilo Gallinari could also win. I think it's a 50-50 shot. I think both these players have the potential to average over 18 points, and they showed last year that they can really come off the bench and give you a good scoring punch. So I'm excited to see Jordan finally win this award. I think Clarkson is also going to be a multiple sixth man of the year, if not runner-up, throughout the time he's with the Jazz, because he fits into our system so well. But there you go. That's my pick. All right, let's talk about the most improved player. So this one for me was just a no-brainer. I think that it's going to be Zion Williamson. He received a lot of hype. Once again, he received a lot of hype when as the number one pick last year, but he showed up very out of shape. The Pelicans put him through a training program where they were teaching him how to walk again and all this stuff and how to eat correctly and this and that. But for a kid of his size to be able to move athletically the way he does, I think that not having any restriction on his play will finally allow him to kind of flourish barring injury. And he's definitely my pick. I can see Zion putting up 24 and 11, 24 and 14. Very easily, just because of how big he is and how he's able to move to the basket and really not let anyone get in his way. Now, my runner-up for this award is actually another Jazz man in Donovan Mitchell. So I'm very high on Donovan. He's a part of my young core of future NBA superstars. I personally think he's a superstar now, but there's going to be transition of power in a sense when you have guys like LeBron James who will eventually retire. You have your Steph Currys and your Kevin Durants. These older players who, you know, they're not on their way out. That's not what I'm saying. But they will continue to age because we all do. And you cannot fight Father Time. And as that occurs, you have this young crop of killers like Donovan. You have Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Bam Adebayo, Devin Booker, possibly even Zion Williamson, depending on how he looks this year and if he can stay healthy and if he loses a little bit of weight. Those guys are really the future of the NBA right now. So it's fun seeing these young guys establish themselves, and I really think in the next 5 or 6 years, those are going to be the dudes who you need on your team to contend. So, and this year will be no different for Donovan Mitchell. I fully believe he's going to take that step. He is going to average 30 points this year and hopefully 6 to 7 assists. But I just see that in his game. He's that kind of player. He's dynamic. He's young. So that's my runner-up. If Zion does get hurt, I think that, you know, that award would have to go to Donovan Mitchell. I'm telling you guys, watch out for Donovan. He's going to come out this gate this year, and I think he's going to average 30. So we will see, but I'm very high on my Utah Jazz because I love my team. Last award we're going to talk about will be Coach of the Year. I think that this also is kind of a no-brainer since I have the Nets ranked the first seed in the East. I think Steve Nash will be Coach of the Year with Doc Rivers coming in, running in at second. Depending on how the Sixers play, a lot of credit's going to have to go to Doc because he's going to be able to bridge that communication and hopefully establish a leader for that franchise. But Steve Nash is probably going to be the clear-cut favorite for Coach of the Year just because of how well I expect the Nets to perform. Okay, guys, that was episode 3. Thank you so much for listening. In episode 4, I will give you guys a recap of the games the night prior. We'll talk about teams. We'll continue to get predictions. And we will follow any news that's happening in the NBA. Guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great Christmas season. Keep it weird and keep loving basketball.